we speak life, revival, salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk quickly. As Rob said, this is the in-between. It's not New Year's and it's not Christmas and whatever, but and it's a bit awkward of a season, you know, a time in this calendar. But I want to continue with the Christmas conspiracy and add one more in, if that's okay. And, you know, because we've had spend less, give more, give yourself fully to worship, love all was the last one. And so I want to continue with another little type of one of a Christmas conspiracy theme called Go Places. So we've had spend less, give more, give yourself fully in worship, love all, and go places. And I'm going to read out a scripture that you would think that should have been read out last week or the week before, but we'll find out where we go with this. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, I'm going to read it. And it says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked. We call them the three wise men, three wise kings. The Bible calls them Magi. He went to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who was being born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard that he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chiefs, priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them, where is the Messiah was to be born? Where the Messiah was to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Yeah, right. After they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. If you look at Christmas cards or Christmas story as we told, you see the manger and you see the three wise men with the shepherds and the angels and the cows and all that and the manger. You talk about being born in a messy place. But you see them all there. The three wise men, the Magi, you see them there at the manger scene. In fact, they came after Jesus was born. So I want to talk about the fact after Jesus is born. This is beyond Christmas, beyond what we call Christmas. It says that they went to the house where the boy was, where the child was, meaning they went where he lived, not to the manger where he was born. And they came there, and scholars reckon that it was at least a couple of years after the birth of Jesus that the Magi or the wise men turned up at Mary's house, not in the manger. And these wise men, if you can imagine, and I call this just in part of the conspiracy, Christmas, let's go places this year. Let's believe God, that God wants to move us into a different space and place and grace so that we achieve something that he leads us in. They were led by God. There was a supernatural, that looked natural, but had a supernatural effect on the whole story. And if you can imagine these men, these can be like us. If you can imagine them from the east, waking up or looking at the stars like any other time. They said they were astronomers, but they looked up this night, stargazers, star trekkers they were actually. And they looked up this night and there was something different than before. Yet it looked the same, but there was one thing different, that this star stood out amongst them all. And they were led on an adventure by God. If I was to ask you what comes to your mind when you say the word adventure, what word would come? Any takers from the floor? If I say adventure, what word comes to your mind? Janie Mac, come on, you're a hard crowd. What? Travel. I'm looking over there, probably came over there, didn't I? Aunt Nels, travel, that's a good one. Excitement, that's another good one. Danger. Yes, that's another good one. Write that one down. Anything else, Patrice? Adventure, that's another good one. Action, anticipation, trials, danger, promise, ups and downs, ins and outs, waiting, watching, persevering, pressing on, getting that type of syndrome that our kids have. Are we there yet? That's a part of the adventure. Filled with anxiety at times, anxious about directions, looking for men to give you directions. You know, all the type of things, keeping your eye on the prize so that you get to the end of your adventure. Does this remind you of anything? This reminds me of my walk with God. That's full of thrills and danger. It's full of ins and outs, ups and downs. It's you know, I used to say at the beginning that my walk with God is like, give you a picture of how I see myself. I always said my walk with the Lord was like an Indiana Jones movie. Have a guess who's Indy. And, you know, it's like, remember, like, he'd always get the prize in the end, but, like, you know, you see him at times with that whip getting the whole, like, getting dragged along by the Jeep or whatever. That it's not just a simple journey of just arriving. That there's a journey in getting there. That there's a journey and a perseverance that actually, you know, takes a lot of pushing in to reach the end of your destination. And that describes your walk. There's times when you have great victories and failures, or what looks like failures. There's times when you're suave and you're at the top of the game, and there's times when you're at the bottom of the pile. There's times when it's full of thrills and excitement and you see God doing things, and then there's times of waiting and watching and persevering. But the way we look at our walk with God will determine how we live our life with God. If we live and look at our life like through a half-glass type of mentality, we will live our life that way. If we live our life as like a half-full glass, we will live that way. If we see our walk with God as a constant struggle, we will live and confess them type of things over our life. If it's a joyous way, if it's a joyous type of thing, we will live according to that. What if we actually looked at life as an adventure? What if we actually looked at life as for real, that God has a plan, that God will lead us, that God will direct us? What if we actually live our lives as an adventure, looking at our lives and what God wants to do through his eyes? What if we actually believe that no weapon fashioned against us will prosper? What if we actually believe that everything in my life will work together for the good and his glory? What if we actually did look at life as somebody who was greatly loved and accepted, who was full of purpose and dignity and significance, and can actually do all things through Christ who strengthens us? You know, when you're writing stuff out and you say certain things, after all that I put, wow. Wow. What if I actually looked at that? And the reality is, the truth is that this reality is my existence, or should be my existence on this earth. And if I'm living anything below that, I'm living below what God has actually called me to be. So, Noel, get up. Look in the mirror. Speak to yourself the things that God has. Imagine they went on an adventure, action filled and all them things. They followed the star. They followed the supernatural. What looked natural had a supernatural effect upon it. They kept their eyes on the star. Do you know there's many stars calling for your and my attention today? There's movie stars and rock stars and fashion stars. There's all types of reality TV stars. People that love to be followed, and there's people that love to follow. And I think at most times that when we follow the wrong star, it's the blind actually leading the blind. We have to make sure that we keep our eyes on Jesus. That's what Hebrew tells us. If we want to fulfill our destiny, if we want to get to our destination of him leading us, that we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. And sometimes even in the adventure, we get our eyes turned here or turned there, don't we? I put my hand up because I'm saying I'm that. And that I have to keep refocusing myself and going, no, it's Jesus I'm following. When man lets me down, I have to refocus myself. No, it's Jesus I'm following. When Matthew was called, or Luke was called, well, not Luke, when Mark was called, or John, or Simon Peter in the Bible was called, Jesus walked by them and says, follow me. It wasn't a star in the air, it was him now. A person saying, follow me. And these guys followed the star and they went on an adventure. When they get to Herod, it says, when King Herod heard about these things, about someone following the star, someone looking for the Messiah, someone looking to worship the king, it says he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. I'm praying, Lord, would you let the supernatural be so evident that it disturbs the rulers and powers and principalities and everyone else that thinks they're in power. That the whole of the place was disturbed. The whole of the place was in turmoil because something was happening. And King Herod was disturbed in all Jerusalem with him. And he called together all the priests. And he says, tell us where this Messiah was born. And he said, in Bethlehem, the smallest. And he speaks the prophecy that was spoken by the prophet. He says, although by no means you're the least amongst the rulers of Judah. Because they were small. They were seemingly insignificant. But everyone gets called into the journey of God. Everyone gets called into the adventure of God. Even those who feel the least. See you, Bethlehem. I have a place for you in the bigger purposes of what I have for this world. Who, me? Yes, you. I was playing, messing with my iPhone this morning with Penny. She had a sleepover. And I, you know, Siri on iPhone. And I said, Penny, when you see this, I said, Siri, will you marry me? And she goes, who, me? Yes, you. That's very nice of you, Noel. So she says, you, Bethlehem, the smallest, what people think is the weakest. Out of you is going to come the ruler. Out of you is going to come my purpose and my plan. And I love this because everyone gets called into the adventure of God. We have to watch out for the Herods because there's always spoilers of the adventure. No matter how they speak to us, no matter, you know, I want to come, he says, and worship the king with you. I want to come and worship the Messiah. Beware of the fancy speakers. Beware of them who says, yeah, I'll go with you, but you really want to have another agenda. Keep your eye on the star. Keep your eye on the one who's called you. Keep your eye on the one who will get you to your desired destination. And he left that place and he went and he found Jesus. And he found him. You know, there's an old saying that's old and old now, but like it still has power in my mind, that wise men seek Jesus, wise men still do. They went and they found him. They heard, they seen the star. Supernatural following the star. And they come to Jerusalem and they hear the testimony of God from the mouths of the chief priests. There was the testimony of God in the sky. Although they didn't know it, we know it. The testimony of God in the sky to follow them to find the Messiah. And they get to Jerusalem and they hear from the scribes the prophecy. So they hear the testimony and the prophecy. And to get us to our destination, there's always a testimony that we need to lean into. And there's also a prophecy that we need to hold on to. There's a testimony of God in your life and my life that in times when things get rough, we have to hold on to the testimony of God's proven nature, proven promises. And then we can, as them as their platform, we can lean into the prophetic words that have been spoken over your life and over my life. So here they are, they have the testimony of God in the sky, and now they have the prophecy of God being spoken from the scribes. It's important to lean into the testimony of God. You know, in the Old Testament, we call, you know, God says to Moses, he wanted to build what we call the Ark of the Covenant. It was a box with a certain type of wood overlaid with gold, and the two cherubims would be on either side, and it was put into the Holy of Holies, and then at God would come down and dwell between the cherubims, his presence. And it was called the Ark of the Covenant. That's what we all call it. In other translations, it's called the Ark of the Testimony. It was the ark of the testimony of God that he was who he was. He was faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this was called the ark of the testimony. The Ten Commandments were put in the ark of the testimony. Aaron's rod was put in the ark of the testimony. Some of the manna was put in to the ark of the testimony. Why? Because it was a testimony of God's goodness and God's promise. It was his testimony, and the people would go before the testimony all the time. Now, the Hebrew word for this ark, it's only used twice in the Bible. The Hebrew word is tava. Say it together, tava. Say it like you're Jewish. I'm only messing. If you wouldn't have said no, Rob, they would have followed me. Tava is the ark of the testimony that was made after the people were brought out of Egypt. The only other place this word is used for another type of ark. It was the manger where Jesus was born. Twice in the whole Bible this word is used. The testimony and the prophecy. The testimony that points us to Jesus. The testimony that leads us to salvation. The testimony that leads us to true deliverance. Noah built an ark. Do you know what the word is here? And I got this one right. It's Aaron, which means a bow. There's Tava, the ark of the testimony. There's Tava, the manger, and there's the bow. And Noah's boat was to bring salvation of a different kind, to keep people from destruction and that mankind could continue. And all of these times point us to Jesus that was in the Tava, the true salvation that keeps us from destruction, the testimony and the prophecy of God. What am I trying to say? I'm asking myself this as I'm standing here. What I'm trying to say is that we have to build is what Chris Fallaton calls an ecosystem within our lives to get to our destination. We have to have a testimony of God and a prophecy over our lives to get to our destination. That we have this ark and this ark, and the way we see life will determine whether we get into a bow or we get into an ark. A bow is governed by physical laws. An ark is governed by God's laws. And how we view this ark is how we will be navigate through life, through times of discouragement, through times of danger, through times of trial. That knowing this, that God is leading us. Moses, as a baby, was put into a type of ark. Jesus, when the disciples came, remember they were going in the storm and they got into a boat. Is that what the Bible says? The disciples got into a boat, but Jesus got into an ark. He got into the promise of God. He got into the sufficient care of his Father over his life. He got into it, and when the storm came, they were in the boat. The Bible says that they were scared. They were frightened. They thought they were going to die. Where was Jesus asleep? Because he was in an ark. He was in the place of promise. He was in the place of prophecy. He was in the place of fulfilling what God had over his life. That's why he could sleep. I want to be in the ark this year. I don't want to be in the boat that is just governed by physical laws, whether I stay up or drown. I'm placing myself this year in the ark, filled with the testimony of God and declaring the prophecies that's over my life. Amen. Testimony is the key to where I am and where I'm going. Testimony is the key to where I am. Sorry, prophecy is the key to where I'm going. Didn't we sing it this morning? For all you have done, testimony. And all that you are going to do, prophecy. Did we not sing it in another line of another song? You have been faithful and you will be faithful. You've been faithful, that's the testimony of God. And you will be faithful, that's the prophecy of God. And we have to live out our journey, our adventure in God with the testimony. Has God been good to you? Has God kept you? Has God provided for you? Has God kept you safe? Has God's presence been in your life? Yes. And when the times when you were going under and you thought, I'm never going to come out of this, and here you are this morning. God is good when the devil threw his best at you. And you may have fell down, but you're back up. Someone says, you know that story of the man comes and he gets knocked down and he gets back up again. Sounds like a song. He gets knocked down and he gets back up again. I remember someone saying, who do you want to be? And I says, I want to be the guy that's knocking him down. I don't want to be the guy that's forever getting knocked down and getting back up and getting. I want to be the guy that starts knocking the devil down. And God wants to turn it around, that you're not just getting knocked down, but you're doomed to knocking down. Amen. That you become the head and not the tail. That you become first and not the last. That's where he wants to turn our lives around. You have a testimony. God, you're faithful then, and you will be faithful now. You'll be faithful going into the future. What prophecy is over your life? What has God spoken through his word to you, through other people to you, in the whisper of the night? What has he spoken to you? That testimony, along with the blood of the Lamb, will overcome the evil one. That's where overcomes when the enemy. Some people think, oh, the word of my testimony and the blood of the Lamb will overcome the devil. My testimony will give nothing glory to really God other than when I got saved. But the rest of it is when the enemy had me captured. But the testimony that overcomes the evil one along with the blood is that my God is faithful. I might be failing, but I'm getting back up. I might see a wall, but I'm going to scale it. This is the testimony of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what overcomes the enemy. The testimony that overcomes. The testimony is so important. Listen to what David said in Psalm 119. He says, the wicked wait for me to be destroyed, but I will consider your testimonies. Oh, they wait for me to fail. They wait for me to run away from God. The Philistines will come. My enemies wait for me to be destroyed. But I will look and consider your testimonies. Do you know what it means? That when we feel like we're going to be gone, or we feel like God has forsaken us, whatever word we want to put on it, then we consider his testimony. Oh, Lord, you're faithful then, you'll be faithful then. Faithful here and you'll be faithful there. Oh, Lord, and I consider. Listen to what David says again in Psalm 119:99. Sounds like a price in pennies. Says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. He says, by meditating on your testimony makes me wiser and gives me more understanding than all the teachers that I have around me. Consider his testimonies. You know how I came to know the Lord? Through someone's testimony. Mick Finley told me what God done in his life. When I considered the testimony of God in his life, I didn't use these words, but I wanted the testimony of God in my life. The Lord's adventure will always lead you to Jesus. It will always bring you back to him. It's not the adventure that I become the hero. It's the adventure that I point to him. I present him. I represent him. The desired goal of our destination, that we become like him. Let him live his life out through us. And the three wise men, the Magi, came to Jesus. And I painted it. The picture is true that they came after. But all the scenes that we see in movies or whatever, it's not that. I've seen a lovely thing, I think I told you before, called the Bible, actually. Yeah, it's called the Bible. And then on Netflix, fantastic, fantastic presentation of the gospel. And then there's another one called AD, Kingdoms and Empires. Brilliant, about the disciples. If you want to watch that and get a visual of all this, this is probably the best I've seen. When myself and Sharon was watching it one night, and the wise men come looking for Jesus, and they find where they go to the manger. And it goes to a picture, and there's Mary and Joseph, and they have baby Jesus in the hand. And the camera goes back to the shepherds and to the three wise men. And they're on their knees with their head on the ground, bowing down in adoration to Jesus. And I looked at Sharon, there was tears coming down her eyes, and she looked at me, and there was tears coming down my eyes. It was like an anointing, the presence of God on it, that just made it so. What else do you do when you see Jesus but worship? And this is what happened. They gave their gifts. I don't know about you, but when I feel Jesus close, I always want to give him something. It's like my natural response when I see him is to give him. Jesus, I give him worship. I give him praise, I give him thanks. When I feel him that close, I give him my life over and over again, that there's something in us that eventually brings us to Jesus. And our natural response when we see him, feel him, you know his presence beside us, hear his breath in our ear, hear his whisper, that I want to go, I give you. Send me wherever you want me to send. I'll give you anything that you want, Jesus. I'll give it to you. And that's the call for each one of us. Will we give him it this year? And you might say, no, I don't know what's going to happen next month. That's okay. You don't own next month. You own now. You don't own tomorrow. You only own now. And on the adventure of God, it's about a constant giving to him. Giving them our failures, giving them our successes, giving them our ins and outs, our thrills, our adventure, our danger. Jesus, I give it to you. Do you know what he does? He takes it. And in return, he gives you something and me something. Peace and joy and hope and strength. Can we stand? I want to send us out this morning. I want to send us into this next year. Father, I ask, do you know what? We all have a testimony about this year. That God has kept us. God has provided. God has been kind. God has been merciful. God has been our sustainer. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And our testimony of God is that he's good. And we look to our future, Lord, that's in you. And we take a hold of every word today, Lord, that's been spoken to us, in us. And we say yes and amen to your word, oh God. That I'm not getting into a boat going into this year. I'm getting into an ark. I'm getting into where the promise is, where the presence is, the protection, the provision is. And I will trust that you will lead me, Lord. Even when it doesn't look like it's going the right way, I trust that it's your way. Even like Moses left in an ark, floating down the Nile. How am I ever going to get to my destination? He will direct it. He will order the sea. He will order the stars. They're his. They obey him. Lord, everything of this year that I've need to take from and learn, would you bring it to my remembrance right now? And everything that I've to leave in your hands, I give them right now. And like those wise men, Lord, we present ourselves as wise people in this, that we give you our lives. We give you our worship. We give you our adoration. We give you our hearts. Another name for the Ark of the Covenant, where another word can be used, is chest, because it holds the precious things. What's built around our heart is our chest. And I had a picture this morning when I was reading some of this stuff, was just reach into your chest, Noel, and give him your heart. Give him your treasure. Give him the first place, as Rob said. And we do that today. We're not going to wait till tomorrow or next week, Lord. We do it today. Say, Jesus, this is what I own. I own now. I make my decision based on my now, and I give you my heart. And I ask that you would come, Lord, and you would do all that you need to do in it, Lord. I pray, Father, right now, I speak life into every spoken word, every word that has been written over our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. Everything that you've promised, Lord. Everything that's come from your lips, Lord. Everything that's been come from your inspired word, oh God. I speak life to it, Lord. And I send us out into this year, Lord. As people that are in an ark, we're going places. We're going to do things with God, for God, through God. For his glory, I send us out on the adventure. The times, the roughs and the bumps of the road of the last year, they've just made you who you are. That you're a You're a warrior. You're someone who's, yeah, you're getting knocked down, you feel knocked down, but you're going to do the knocking down in Jesus' name. You're going to take down the giants. This is what's being prophesied. You're going to take down the strongholds. You're going to take down the things that have dominated. That's your role, and I release strength of God to do that. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would call us to different places. This year, Lord God, that you would lead us, Lord, into different lives, Lord, outreaches that have to be started, Lord. Things that, Lord, to reach into the community that has to be started. It's in your people, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, that we would see a sign, that we would see the star, Lord. And even as those wise men had dreams as to where to go and where not to go, Lord, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that dreams and visions and prophecies, Lord, would be so alive in our lives this week, oh God, and this year, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you? Would you pray a blessing over that person? That all, every step of God would be met this year, would be walked in this year. I pray a blessing. Pray over that person that we don't miss one heartbeat, Lord. That you keep us so in tune with you, Lord God, that, Lord, we go, no, this way or that way, or walk straight, or go to this street, or go to that home, or to go to that job, whatever it is, Lord, that we would hear you, Lord. This year, 2018 coming, oh God. 2018, Lord, we pray for salvations of families, oh God. Our brothers and sisters, our in-laws, oh God, our cousins, oh God, that, Lord, it would be like a tribe of O'Donoghue's coming in. It would be like a tribe, oh God, of Duff's coming in, oh God. And put your name to it. It would be like a tribe of Kenny's coming in, oh God. We're coming in like in tribes, oh God, Lord. This year, Lord, I pray that you would move like a wildfire through our families, oh God. I was talking to Louise of RD Street, Louise Cassidy of RD Street before Christmas, and she said this, in one Christmas, 14 members of our family came to know Jesus. In one Christmas, 14 members, from our granny right down to grandkids. And I pray, Father, and release that testimony of God, Lord, as a prophecy into our lives and our families, oh God, that in one space of a week, oh God, 14 came to know you. And we say yes and amen, Father, in Jesus' name.